The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord, as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode. We believe you'll be richly blessed.
Father, we thank you for today. We give all the praise to you. We exhort you, Jesus, for what you have done already with us. What we have seen, heard from you, of your Son, Jesus Christ. Even if there are things spoken about us, they are all from you. They flow from you, and they are fixed in you. So we see them all in you. And we see much more in you. Today we pray, we ask you, Lord, that help us to see you. Send your light to our heart. Help us today, bless us. Bless everyone that is here today. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your mercy. Bless us with your light. Bless us. Jesus, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To sight Jesus, to see Jesus, is the greatest happening. It's the greatest experience that a man can ever have. Because when you see Jesus as He is, then you have seen your God. You have seen the true God. You have seen the invisible God. You have seen the one that all nations call upon without sin. And that's why one of the greatest honor we are having at this time is seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. And that is our salvation. I want to trust that we'll be released very soon to leave this place. Amen. See the way you are laughing now. I don't know. As if it's impossible for us to preach just short message. Okay. Amen. So let's see this man called John. Let's see what this man. Now the Gospel of John is the last gospel, was the last gospel written. And that Gospel of John actually is in the order of Revelation. John and Revelation are together. Amen. For it's senior to Gospel of John is senior to Epistle of John. It's the Epistle of John, the Gospel of John, the Book of Revelation. Yes. Because, amen. So let's see. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Just have conversation about the light and the light, that light. And I was teaching here sometimes ago about what God expects, or what God can deal with, or what God can use, are lights. Okay, so you can see that a man came from John. It was not the light. It's a light. But it's not that light. So these are servants of God. So lights are personalities. What did I say? Say it again. We are supposed to become light. But it's that light. It was not that light. It was a shining light. It was a kind of light. But just say, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. It is, I am that light of the world. I am the light. But John said, is that light? It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, a particular light, which John was seeing here, that was not really seen that way in all the Gospels. Jesus was light, was the light in the Gospel. It was not that light in the Gospel. On the other Gospel, it's not that light, it's the light. Well, it was not that light. There's a particular light that was the promise. That's going to be the light of a new world. The light is the light that lightens all men that came into the world. So out of his light were other lights sent. So John actually proceeded from him. It was the light that produced other light. That's why without him was nothing made that was made. So it was the creator. That light was the creator light. I went to the house this. Amen. What did I say? So that light was a creator light, or was the light of the creator, which actually is the light of eternal life. Eternal life is the light of the creator. It's that light that God ordained to bring all light from. So it's the light that should lighten every man. Why is every man that cometh there? It's not every human being. It's every messenger that God sent. All messengers are light. Amen. All men there. Men there are John, Elijah, and all their men. Are we in the house, please? There's only one that has ascended. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And is the only one who came down from heaven. Every other man did not come from heaven. They came from the earth, right? There's only one man that has come from the heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that light that lightens every man that cometh into the world. So John was able to see that light. If you look at 1 John, that which was in the beginning, that which was in the beginning, which we have heard, that. So he's talking about that light that was in the beginning, is a creator light that was in the beginning. None of the people, none of those who followed Jesus saw him in the beginning. They saw him as Christ. And by reason of revelation of what Peter saw, he's Son of God. But they didn't see him from his genealogy. You know, Jesus said to Peter, it's not you, it's my Father who's in heaven. So it's a revelation that has no root in you. It was just a brightness that came for a moment. And you said it, it's accurate, but it doesn't have a root in you. Amen. Praise God. We're going somewhere. It was in the world, and the world was made by him. So it's clear, it's the creator light. And the world knew him not. Or the world could not relate with him. Knew him does not mean that they saw him. They couldn't relate with, you know, he said that light. So knew him is that they didn't know that light. They couldn't demystify that light. Each time, if he brings anything from that light, it's mysterious. Like they will say, concerning a man and his wife. The disciple says, if it's so with a man and his wife, it's better not to get married. It's an earthly revelation, though from an heavenly light. To them, if that is the way a man should live with his wife, then it's not good for a man to marry. Amen. But he came unto his own, and his own received them. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. You know, all of you are talking about knowledge, talking about growth. Mammy was talking about growth. Pastor Dixon was talking about knowledge. It's the lots of the priest for his man to speak knowledge. And Bible says, God said, you are my people, but you will be destroyed because you lack knowledge. And there's a kind of, that knowledge is light. There's a kind of light. When you meet them, they have knowledge. It's not they don't have knowledge, but they don't have the God's knowledge. They don't have the right knowledge, or they don't have a true knowledge. When a thing is true, it's not the same as truth. There's a way truth lay, and become true. True is a being, or is what truth produces. So it means it has its calibration, it has its stature. It has its nature. It doesn't just have to look like it. It has to be it. If it's not it, it's not true. So if you have a form, that look like, but when they check the frame, if it's not exact, then it's not true. Then you don't have that knowledge. Amen. So it's not that people are not engaging in reading scriptures, going through what they feel is spiritual ritual, but it's not landing them in the true knowledge or make them to understand the true one. I was explaining things around that in Lauren. 1 John 5:20. Are you there, please? Amen. Are you with me? You must be with me. You must be with me. What I'm saying, I will say it again until it makes sense to you, okay? I'm not speaking from where you are exactly. I'm speaking ahead of you a little bit. And with little push, you will get there, okay? Praise God. We have a good trouble in the house with us, but it's a good one. The fact that God gave us grace to see ahead, and we have paid a very terrible price for it. When you say what you see ahead, everybody will rail. It's like nearly rain all storms against you. You know, at first I feel the pain, but later on I don't feel pain anymore. I just say, let's keep on. They will meet us there. So I now know that to go ahead is a problem. I knew what Joseph suffered. But I think we can't function outside it. Like what we taught on Sunday, sexually, myself, I knew that though it's so clear, near to us, but to our church conversation, it's not near. But we have a duty to keep them for ourselves and for our generation. Amen? Our brethren will come, they will need it. When we teach eternal life 20 years ago, we look like stupid people. But all our brethren are coming to it now. So you must be ready for stoning if you are going to do this kind of job. Okay? Amen. So see this place. And we know that the Son of God is come. He didn't say the Son of God has come. This is not good grammar, Pastor James. Is it good grammar? Is it that we know that the Son of God has come or will come? But it's come. Doesn't fall in. And I like King James for that reason, that he will leave it the way it is. If it's not whatever he put it in italics, but he will leave the way it is. So thank God that we have an edition of the Bible that reads like that, that leaves it the way it is, either it makes sense or not. Because we have a tendency of saying it, maybe that's what they want to say. No, this is what he wants to say. It's not a mistake. This is what he wants to say. So he's creating his own grammar to make you picture what he's saying. Because grammar does not have enough language to say what God wants to say. So sometimes we have to rubbish grammar as long as we can see what God is saying. So John said, we know, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us. So he places it that it's not every time that the Son of God appears. There can be a generation of a people for 500 years and the Son will not come. Church will go on. They won't see the Son as the Son is in his eternal state in the realm of the dead. That which was in the beginning. I went to the house this. Amen. The church can mention in the name of Jesus. They can say, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son of the Holy Ghost. Yet the Son did not come to them. Because the Son is not just a name you use. The Son is an understanding. So each time he comes, he has given us. Because he's come in our day. As at the time of this frame of scripture, the Son of God is come. If we say he has come, it means he has come and he is abiding. So those who are going to live after, we just meet the one who has come. But he's saying that this Son that has come now, you may not see him again. So he has not come to abide for everyone to see. There's a realm where he has come to. So we know because we move to that sphere, and so we see him. So every generation that we have to see him, we have to move there. Are we in the house together, please? And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Not him that is truth. Him that is true. So it's telling you that there's a person in him is true. This is a true upon which he said, is it true and the faithful witness? If it's not true, can faithfully witness? Are we in the house, please? That is true. And we are in him that is true. We are in him that is true. We know. We are in him that is true. Even in his son. So these people actually are not just that they are in Christ. They are in the understanding of the son. We are in his son. The son is the one who is true. That son is not just son. He's the son. He described him further. I went to the house, please. Amen. So you understand the issue of eternal life. It's about the revelation of a person in a sphere that has embodied the complete figure of the person of God. In the way God will manifest himself in flesh. Because if you see God in glory, it does not show God's strata. You will see him in his glory, but you don't know what makes him up. So if you see anybody that embodies him, you may not know. Because what he carries is in his inside. I went in the house face. What do you think made John Baptist the highest rank of those who are born of women? Is he not overrated? John the Baptist is the greatest of those who are born of women, including Enoch, Abraham, Moses, David, all the prophets. This is not. Why do you think he's the greatest? Because he's an earthly man, but he saw an heavenly being and he's done it. So he has the highest height. He has the highest height. He has the highest sight. It's to say that if Moses saw Jesus at that time, Moses would not know Jesus. He would not know Jesus. For Abraham, he saw him in his glory. They have to use glory. They don't show his true essence. They have to use glory to convey him to Abraham. And Abraham rejoiced in my days. If they give Abraham his true essence, Abraham will not know him. So we are in him. We are in him that is true, even in his son, Jesus Christ. This son, look at me. This son is a true God. And this son is eternal life. He is true. So Jesus is true God. Why? He's eternal life. Why? He is true. When you check what he carries, it's exact what God carries. That's why they refer to him in Revelation chapter 1 as the true and the faithful witness. There are witnesses, but they are not true. There's no true and this is the witness that John was describing. Why he's saying that light was describing him in his eternal state as eternal life. Amen. Amen. Are you with me, please? Come to verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So you will see that we beheld his glory. It was not Jesus of Nazareth he was talking about here. All the other apostles, what they behold was Jesus the Christ, not the Son of God. They saw Christ. You now see exactly why the book of Revelation was written to servants. If you don't have the revelation of the Son of God, you can't be this servant. They want to make a new set of servants. They want to crop in a new set of servants. The job of salvation will be done not by the fivefold ministry. It will be done by prophets. Not prophet of the gift of Christ. Prophet in the order of testimony. They are called his servants, the prophets. If you look at back to Revelation chapter 1, you will see the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God has shown to him, to show unto his servants, things which must surely come to pass. Are you with me, please? I don't want to lose anyone here. Amen. Praise God. Which God has shown to him. He has shown to him to show to his servants. So there are those who were servants before now. Amen. But why did he show it to him? Let's read that place. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. He sent it and signified by his angel. That angel also is a special servant unto his servant, John. So you can see that everything there is about servants. And the essence of that is to raise another crop of servants. These servants are servants because of the things. There are things which they will come to see. There are things they have seen before. You know, he told Paul, I appeal to you to make you a minister and a witness of the things which you have seen. Things which you have seen. He didn't say of him whom you have seen. Of things I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee witness both of these things. So what he actually saw were things. It was, amen. What he saw was Christ. But really what he saw was not just Christ. They were the things of Christ. What made Christ up? If I say somebody shows himself to you, it will be who you saw. It will be who you saw. It's not who he saw. There were things which thou hast seen. You saw things. You saw things. You didn't just hear things. You saw things. Things move beyond what you saw, what you heard. You saw them. And of those things, you can see that what makes Paul a minister and a witness are things. Both of the things which is a sin and those things in which it will appear. So when he appears, what does he show? He shows things. Are you with me? I say when Christ appears, what do you see? Things. Thank you. Things. Say things. Things. So what the next phase of servants will see that will make them these new servants that are called prophets. Yeah, if you see the testimony, he said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy. Then, is it in 19? He also called them, amen. Okay. In 19, it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, it's not mentioning prophet. Let's see 22, verse 6. Are you there? And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful. And what? These sayings are faithful. These sayings are faithful and true. So it tells you from where the saints are coming from. They are from the faithful and true witness. Amen. And the Lord God of the holy prophets. These saints are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his servants to show unto his servant the servant's things. The things which must shortly come to pass. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Let me read. Are you there? Not that place. Are you not in that place now? Say, go to verse 9. Okay, let me read through. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. This book is the book of prophecy. So the book has sayings or things. So you can say the sayings are things. And I just saw these things. I saw them and I heard them. Normally, if you went through door, it should have been, I heard them, then I saw them. The door should be what we have heard and we have seen, which we have looked upon. And our hands have handled of the word of life. See that place? Then next verse says, the things which we have seen and heard. It didn't say what we have heard and seen. We passed through the first door and we're learning Christ. Amen. I went in the house, please. But through the learning of Christ, we have gained a measure of understanding that makes understanding our key engagement. When we first start with Christ, we hear, then we understand. We hear, then we understand. We see, then we looked upon, then we handle. That was how we journey in the door of Christ. Is that not true? Okay. But it's saying that we move to the next phase where what we are dealing with is what we are seeing. So, hearing, they don't reckon it as a door anymore. It's sight that is the reckoning factor. So, all they are doing is seeing. They are becoming the creature of sight. So, it means that what suffices them, it's not just hearing anymore. It's seeing. They are not related with what they are hearing. It's what they are seeing. I went in the house this. So it tells you that they received the law before they began to hear. When they received the law, then they began to hear. So what we have seen and we have now heard. So it tells you that the next phase in the door of understanding is that sight is the major entrance or major pursuit. Amen. That grammar, does it make sense to you? So I'm only saying that these servants, actually, their major engaging instrument is sight. Actually, when they have seen, they hear from their sight. Yeah, they hear again from what they are seeing. What they are understanding begin to read back to them, so they hear from what they are seeing. Let's see. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, so you can see the cycle continue. I heard and seen, I saw. I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Verse 9. Are you in verse 9? See what it says. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, what's the next thing? And of thy brethren the prophet. So John has entered into a brotherhood of the prophet of this testimony. And their testimony is the testimony of the Son of God. It's not just that it's Christ. What they are holding as understanding is the understanding. That's why the Son of God is come. And he has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. We are in him that is true. Even in Jesus, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So what these servants are dealing with is are the things of God that will show the things that are true. They are true in his Son. Are we the hostess? That really makes him God. Now, do you know that up to now, some people believe that Jesus is an angel. As Christ. Christ looked like some angels. What did I say? For example, what you call Lucifer? It's a kind of Christ. You don't know. It's a Christos. It's called anointed cherub that covered it. It's an anointed one. Anointed one. All the cherubs are a kind of Christ. That's why they can fall to show that Christ, not to move men away from God. That's why Lucifer is a terrible being. Very terrible being, because it's a kind of Christ. Though it's a created Christ, you know that even Jesus Christ was not born until he was raised from the dead. So if the devil has succeeded in moving Jesus away before his death on the cross, he will have been an anointed Christ. He will have been a Christ. He will have gotten another dangerous Christ with him. And his kingdom will have been terrible. Because Christs are actually made. They are made. That Jesus was born through Virgin Mary does not make him Son of God. God just showed that door in separating him to say that this is the way I want to bring my own. I went in the house, please. And that God allow him to grow. Angels does not grow. I went the houseless. But all of that still result in the anointed one. That's why the last phase of Jesus' obedience was very vital. To make a difference between him and another Christ. Though he was a son, a Christ. He was a son, but he was not a begotten son. So he has to go through another school. To enter into a glory that no other creature can enter into. No other Christ can be crowned with that glory. I went the houseless. So you can't have Antichrist. There can't be Antichrist if there's no Christ. So Antichrist is another code of Christ that's against the real Christ. It is in this light we call them Antichrist. In their own world, they are Christ. But when you are walking in the path of this Christ, you see them as Antichrist. And of them, what's happening? So we are of thy brethren in the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So it's clear that John was in the brotherhood of prophets. But he was an apostle, an elder, and he has served in that capacity. When he wrote epistles of John, he was an elder. But they needed to move him from all of that calibration into another brotherhood entirely, where he can be a servant of the one who is true. So, the servant of the one who is true, then, is the faithful. Faithful because he aligns totally to the end of that which is true. He didn't change, he didn't shift. I went in the house, please. So if you go up just Christ alone, and you don't have the desire to go into the Son of God, you can be corrupted. Because at the end of your finishing, you may not finish in that purity. Because you are already in the glory of Christ. Can you see? I went in the house, please. Now what Jesus did, Jesus did not glorify himself. When he finished the curriculum, he didn't take it. He didn't take it. Because he knew that there was another program for him. So he wants God to proclaim him by ushering him into a new phase. Let me give you an example. You know, you finish your level. Okay, you've done your work. Your work will be done with jump. So you did your work and jump together. Once you have done your work, any other student, you can go and celebrate. You have finished your level. But if you decide to say, no, don't celebrate my work. It's when I have passed my jump that you celebrate. So you have already linked yourself by oath to what can move you to the next fair. Because you can finish your work and be at home for the next 20 years. So Jesus glorified not himself. He will finish the curriculum, he won't glorify himself. This man called Jesus. So God, he knew that the way to move into the next sphere actually is to be dead to the glory you carry now. Yes. Because that glory itself can be a veil. So he said, Father, the glory you gave to me, I gave it to them. You gave me, but I have given it to them. If it was you and I, or any other kind of imagine Christ, he will be relishing that glory. But now, dear Father, glorify me with thy own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world began. So you can see what trained Jesus in meekness. He learned meekness in a dimension that is not just available. And actually, it is his sight that taught him meekness. It's not just trying to be an humble man. His sight, he had capacity to see afar. So he learned the pathway. That's why I say, right prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. So he knew the key ways of a prosperous ride into glory. He knew God loves truth. He knew he needed meekness. He also knew he needed righteousness. And therefore, and thy right hand with what shall teach thee terrible things. What's terrible things? What is the terrible things? Is that fire should descend? No. The pathway to God is terrible. Nobody has found it. Thy right hand will teach you terrible things. How to navigate the pathway that can lead to God, which no creature has ever found. So you can now see that to be a true servant or servant in this dimension of the prophets of the testimony, or it means servants of these prophets are servants of the true saints of God, or the servants of the true witness of God, or servants of the true, or servants of eternal life, or servants of true God. So it goes beyond. Are we in the hospice? It's true, you must have done well in serving Christ. You must have done well there before you can serve in this testimony. I'm only saying that the revelation of the begotten Son is a very high revelation. So let's go back to John chapter 1. Amen. Are we in the house together, please? When you come to scriptures, you must see Jesus. Scripture is not a place to just learn code of righteousness, code of behavior. That does not change you from the inside. It's seeing Jesus that changed from inside. When you behold his glory, his glory changes everything you have seen in yourself as a standard of what should be beautiful will fade off when you see him. And once that happens to you, ascension is not difficult. What was then limiting us is our glory. Somewhere you feel you are good. Somewhere you feel you have tried. And that's why growth, once you see glory, you will grow. You will change. You didn't change because you have not seen glory. You will be like that said, everything that look at matter in me just becomes a... So when he fell, he didn't just fail because he didn't have strength in his body. Everything that look at, see there are matters in him just dissolve. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. So you can see why, and I retain no strength. So it's not just muscular strength. Because when God is talking to you about Israel, state of Israel, I went in the house place. You feel that, yes, Israel now. Yes, by now, just like Isaiah. But when they moved to the realm of glory, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. If I live in the midst of a people, unclean. Before then, he looked like as if he's higher than them. But when they showed him glory, so they have to assure him, you will still serve. We need you, you're a prophet, you will serve. But it's good you know that you're unclean. So they helped him. They helped him, they brought the life code from the altar of Seraph. And they touched his tongue. Now your tongue is cleansed and your iniquity is taken away. So such a man will not glory, or he will not, can you see? When he's talking to Israel, he will talk with the saints. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Amen. So let's go back to John. Amen. So, and we beheld his glory, verse 14. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace John, I, John, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he is before me. Next verse 16. And of his fullness, I like the of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. So you can see what they call true there is grace and truth. So what can raise true, the one who is true, is grace and truth. When truth aligns with grace, you see true. When truth aligns with grace, you see true. So build what is called a true, that true personality is grace and truth. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I can't hear you come and say amen. Amen. Say grace and truth. Grace. Say it again. Grace. Say it again. Grace. So what makes the true one is what? Grace and truth. It's the working of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. That's how the building was raised. That man called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That was who was raised. This person of his fullness, okay, is the fullness of the begotten Son, which is the fullness of the Son of God that was raised from the dead. That being that was raised from the dead, which Paul called the brightness of glory, the express image of his person. Who being the brightness of glory, the express image of his person. Now Paul wrote that by revelation. Amen. He wrote that by revelation, but John was writing by things which he actually saw. He saw his things. Are we in the house, please? He saw his things. He saw those things that make him up. So, say grace and truth. So come on, say it again. I'm just laying foundations for it. Amen. So, come on, say fullness. Fullness is the Son of God. That Son of God is the risen Son of God. Because also Christ is the Son of God. Christ is Son of God. Christ at Jordan was Son of God. Christ who walked through the whole of Galilee is Son of God. Christ at the mountain is the Son of God. Okay? The Christ that was raised from the dead is the Son of God. But that was not, is the begotten Son. That's why I said, today have I begotten thee. So it was not a beloved Son, it was a begotten Son. The one that was raised from the dead is the begotten Son. It means that is the fullness, complete Son of God. Praise God. Are we clear with that? So we must see this Christ from his raising, how God raised him, how God made him this beloved Son, how God turned him, and how God made him the begotten Son. That is grace and truth. That's the building of grace and truth. Hallelujah. So you can see that from just childhood, like when mom was reading this morning, you will see, and the child grew. And the grace of God was upon him. The child grew in wisdom. The child was waxed strong in spirit. And the grace of God was upon him. Later on, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. These are activities of grace and truth. This child was knowing grace by the Spirit. He was knowing truth by the Spirit. Okay, purely grace. Grace is Spirit. What did I say? Come on, say it again. That's why we hear, and there's going to be shouting upon the headstone. I mean, is everybody going to bring forth the headstone? with a shouting, grace, grace upon it. So actually, what's going to be upon the stone? The shouting that will raise the stone is grace, grace. But the grace, actually, we use truth. We use truth. But it's going to be grace. Grace will turn truth to true. Grace will, are we in the hospice? Grace will make truth to become true. Without grace, without spirit, truth will not become true. When you say truth, true means that you are born in that likeness. You are like, you are exactly like it. It's not only that you are laid with truth, but the full effect of that laying produces the true one. It's, there's an internalization of that truth to produce God's person. I went to the hospice. Because you can have truth in you. It does not mean that you will be able to interact with that truth to produce a life. So when truth produces life, then that truth has been used by the Spirit or by grace. So grace is power. Grace is power. It's power to make things happen. It's power to bring forth. So when you see Jesus at Jordan, that beloved son, is a man that has a deck of a stature. It's a stature of grace building. I went to the house place. So you can see his understanding, his revelation is already coming to realm of God's knowledge. He has been built to know God. So you can see mysteries of God is beginning. They are handling mysteries to him. He can decode them. I went to the house place. Yes. He can handle truths, eternal truths. He's already handling eternal truths. Yet, it's not true in him. So what did he use obedience for? His obedience to make those things which he knows as truth to become true in him. That's why he can be tempted. He was tempted because he could fall. But God helped him. And because he yielded to true learning, he was able to withstand it. And the devil left him for a while. He came back again. If he knew he can't fall, he won't be coming. He kept checking what makes him up. He was looking for a way of corruption. If there's anything corrupted, they could lay hold on it. Because by that one, he could pull him down. Because he was not yet incorruptible. He was not incorruptible. But through the use, he entered into the realm of incorruptibility. He became incorruptible. Praise God. So let's move to this sphere. In coming to the true God or eternal life, so we have to change from face to face. We have to change from face to face. And like I said, that you are finished a school does not mean that it's automatic. You must have an ushering in. That's why you see all the writings gives you the requirement to finish well. Finish well or finish with joy. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy and the gospel of the grace of God which I've received. So finishing with joy is to finishing well. When you finish with joy, you finish well. Because you finish with extra strength. Because joy is strength. So, I went in the house, please. So the way they raise Christ or teach Christ is finish well. Finish with joy. Finish with extra strength. Finish your course. So that you can fulfill the waiting period. Because you need a waiting period for approval. I went in the house, please. After you have done the will of God, you need patience. So that you can receive the promise. The promise is not immediately after you have finished the will of God. You will need to wait. So you need strength to wait. So what joy does is to keep you in a season of waiting. So when they are training us, when they are building us, they build us with that training to want to make you finish well. Can you see? Because there is another space you are supposed to move into. So they won't train you just to finish. You know, you go to some schools, they just say, in this school, our pass is 60. Any child that scored below 60, repeat. Whereas in other schools, it's 40. What's the difference? It forces the students up in that system to ensure they are promoted. But what you are doing at the end of the day is that you want them to do well. So some children, when they get to SS3, they want to do the exam, they like nothing. Why? The system that raised them up, it has built them to be tough. That is why you see them in handling you, in training or raising you, they make sure you finish your course and you finish well. I went in the house, listen. Because they did the same for Jesus. After he has died on the cross, he has finished it. They have to lay him in grave and subject him to what he hates. You know what Jesus ate? He ate corruption. Jesus ate decay. he didn't come from the realm of corruption. So for his body to decay to him is, take my life, take everything, but don't allow me to see corruption. So for him to give his body like that one, he could see corruption. But it's God, his Father, who knew the Son's desire, ensure that at the moment when corruption was set in, resurrection set in. Are we in the house, please? On the next third morning, you know, the first night, they ensure they embalm him. So that could take him through the early nights. The third day, corruption decay was going to set in. They ensure that the progress of whatever he has to do in hell was completed. And God raised him from the dead. I went to the house quickly. Now, I'm only saying to us that when he laid down his body, it was a dangerous thing he did. Or he gave it to men. He gave his body to men. And whatever you give to men, men can do anything with it. What if they say, the government say, he said we'll raise up from there. Bring him, let's burn him. They could burn the body. Cremate him. And for his bone, must not be broken. If it's broken, it's not Messiah. But he has already, I went to the hospice. God, he kept his bone. None of them is broken. Is the Lord of the righteous man. This righteous man cried, and the Lord heard him. So if they break his bone, God did not hear him. I went in the house, please. Amen. So for him to be able to give himself like that, then he has finished well. He knew there's enough jaw that can take him through hell and raise him from the dead. That's why your strength must not be abated. Your joy must not be replenished. Anything that attacks your joy attacks your grace for furtherance. When I see people and I see them that they don't bubble in joy, I just say, I have great concern. Because a lot of things are going to fail in their hands. Hallelujah. Okay, so you now see, I just lay this background for us to know why someone like Paul will insist on some things in training the churches. All right, in a manner. For example, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Church in Corinth was a church who have enjoyed so much of mercy, so much of gifts or grace. Let me explain that. The building of grace, when you say grace or spirit, the way grace comes, there are different technologies for grace to come. For example, when you got born again, it was grace that you received that got you born again. Is that right? By grace are you saved. Through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Anywhere you hear gift, it's also called grace. What do I say? We call it gift of grace. Gift is grace. So it means that when you go born again, it's not of your own self. Through grace, you are saved. It's not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So that faith you received then brought grace to you or to me that got me born again. There's no way you could have been saved if you didn't receive grace. What could quicken your spirit from the dead and brought you alive is a working of divine power called grace. There's an activation of power towards you. You had faith. But your faith is a pipeline that conveys grace. So what God gave to you when you believe Jesus was grace. You believe Jesus. Are we in the house, please? Through believing him, something came to you. And what came to you? Quicken your spirit. Raise your spirit up from the dead. What all your resolution for how many years couldn't do? What your commitment, your devotion couldn't do? Just faith in Jesus. Just faith. Then you know that what he brought to you is a mighty power. It's a mighty power. Though for us, it's grace, it's a gift, but from God. Is a release of a mighty power which God gave into Christ for anyone that believes. Are we in the house, please? So, new birth is not cheap. New birth is not cheap. That is why there's need to know how to preach Christ so that people can draw grace. But when Christ is nowhere preached, the faith release is not strong or it's not definite. So the great commission to that person is not full. Are we in the house, please? So you see, for the next 1 year, he opened born wuru wuru. Are we in the house, please? He believed Jesus, but at them, about believe Jesus, gone on. Why? Christ was not well preached to him. Amen. He was not painted enough for his allegiance to be in Jesus. And that's the problem with what we have preached in the past. Mostly about making other calls after a miracle. That preaching is not accurate. Jesus is not lifted up for who he is. You lifted him up for what he did, not who he is. Faith that draws grace, that draws power of a change, is faith in his name. By faith in his name. So what should be preached to man is his name. Is Jesus the Christ. Are we in the house, please? God is going to bring a new revival of that message back. So grace came. Right? Grace came and we're going to go born again. I told you grace also is called power. Grace is power. So when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. So it's also the grace. It's grace. Is the grace of God. Is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, I'm going to stay again today on that righteousness. Do you know, after we got born again, that we receive grace to be quickened. We also enjoy various grace along the line, but that it is not grace that is unto salvation. For example, when you are equipped with grace of the Spirit, it's still grace. You call it gift of the Spirit. Gift is grace. For a man to see without, to see into the Spirit or discern, it's a power working. Are we in the house, please? If you know what people who are in religion or are in totalitarianism or that do to enter into that realm, you know that something happened on your behalf. Something for you that eat a band, you have just finished a band and okra soup, and there's a meeting now, there's a prophecy. He said, come and give interpretation, and you can give correct interpretation. Something, there's a grace you are enjoying for any other person who is not in that life to do that. You don't know how much of fasting, how much of enchantment it would do, because they want to have access to unseen. You have seen Professor Stott before in prophecy. That's one person I know has that very serious, that terrible grace in prophecy. In simple prophecy. He does it sweatlessly. He talks about your issues with, as if he was there. And it's not because he has planned, amen. Sometimes we don't know the gift of Christ. It's good for you to fast. But your fasting can only complement what gift. If there's no gift of grace, fasting is useless. Christ does not impart gift to you through fasting. Are we in the house, please? If you're not sure, you're careful, you are going to enter the wrong spirit by your fast. But the door of Christ is, it's not by your self-denial. It's not self-denial. It's by faith. Some things you have access to them because he knew you before you were born, and there are things he has already designed should be operational through you. Are we right in the house, please? So you can be in Christ for 20 years and you don't have gift of discerning of spirit. And a child could be born again today in 2 years, in a year, 6 months. He's operating it. And when there's no light, that kind of child can feel it's more spiritual. Now, someone who has been in the faith for 15 years, the grace you are enjoying is not the grace for edification. That grace is not for edification. It's grace for common help. General help. It's like we're in a bus stop and we need to survive in that bus stop. Well, we go on a journey. Whatever you do in that bus stop is just for sustenance for that moment. Are we in the house, please? So there are, amen. So there are graces given to us that was not merely based on truth. We have all those measure of grace. Hallelujah. But any time that grace that will bring the true life to us wants to come, it must come with truth. If it's going to bring us to true life, or it's going to make us godly, which we have the hope of eternal life. That's what Paul wrote in Titus 1. Amen. Titus 1. Let's read Titus 1 quickly. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of what? God's elect and the what? And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Verse 2. This is in hope. So you can see this truth is not truth as an end. It's a truth that is to prepare a man for hope. So this truth will need spirit or grace for it to be true. Because it's supposed to move men to godliness, which is for those who are hoping for eternal life. Because you can attain any of these places without hoping for eternal life. Are we in the house, please? Amen. You can have a desire to, I just want to, you just feel that this church, I should be a pastor of this church, I should be above the rest of people. And set yourself for a growth system. Are we in the house, please? Because you feel that I should be above mine. So your hope is not yet well set. What you are hoping for should not be on your assembly. You should be open for eternal life. So there's the word truth aligns with us for those who are hoping for eternal life, that does not limit their growth. Because what they are seeing is not immediate result. It's eternal life as a focus. Are we in the house, please? So you can see that there's truth that is after godliness. Come and say truth. After what? Say it again. Truth. After. Come and say it again. Come and say it again. So it means that there's a focus for the truth we're receiving. So we need grace to interpret to us that truth, so that can be according to how it is true in Him. Do you get it? It must be true in Him. It must be according to how Christ is led. Amen. So let me come to where we are today. Hallelujah. I've just spoke all of that now to open up to you. I've just opened up to you again. That's the school of eternal life, right? Praise God. You now see that for the church at Corinth, they have enjoyed the gift or the grace of new birth. They have also enjoyed the grace or the gift that comes by the Holy Ghost. It's also grace. But they have not enjoyed the grace that leads to salvation, which must contain truth that is after godliness. Let me say it again. The grace that leads to salvation. I say, a grace that leads to salvation means grace that can make you leap into eternal life. Are we in the house, please? What did I say? If a man wants to live his eternal life, he must look for grace that can make that leap. It means that grace is needed, and that grace is abundant grace. The grace that can make a man to say this man can go for eternal life must abound. Must abound. There's need for abundance of grace. So even, are we in the house, please? Let me read to you from Romans. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ. Today is supposed to be a short day. Praise God. Okay. Let me read chapter 5. 5. Are you in 5? Amen. Are you here with me, please? Verse 94. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded? Are you there? Where sin abounded? What happened? Grace did much more abound. So that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through what? To righteousness. Unto what? So it means that for those who are looking for eternal life, they need grace to reign. If grace will reign, then grace must abound. Because grace has to destroy sin. Has to destroy sin. Has to destroy the strength of sin, the law of sin. So that grace can move with great strength that can hope for eternal life. Grace must position you and I to a place where we can believe God for eternal life. For most of us, for now, we hear it, but we can't hope for it. If they bring demands of eternal life to you, you will drop your hope. I went in the house, please. But we can hope for Christ easily. Amen. Am I in the house with you, please? So grace must abound. What did I say? Oh, abundance must be abundance of grace. Let me see. Another place. Amen. It talks about the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. 17. Okay. Thank you very much. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Death reigned by one. Are you there? No, Romans is a book of salvation. Book of Romans is higher than Corinthians. Is that how that comes in Corinthians? In fact, the most elementary book is Corinthians. It's a book for children, for babes. Amen. Corinthians, Galatians, Romans. Romans is around, it's book for Hebrew. Hebrew and Romans are together. And where the house is. As I, most of the time when you're reading Hebrew, you'll be going back to Romans. Because it's for those who want to finish Christ. It's for those who want to come away in the house, please. It's for those who want to come into salvation. So you can see there, yes, it's talking about that. So see, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of what? And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So for a man to reign in life, to have abundance of life. If you are reigning in life, does not mean you have eternal life. What did I say? Say it again. It means that you are living abundance of life. Because the thief cometh not for to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I am come. Then they may have life, have it more, and have it more abundantly. So life should be more life. Amen. What did I say? There should be life, there should be more life. There should be also what? Abundance of life. You will need an abundance of life to live the reigning life. You need to live the life of Jesus, to live God's life, or Christ's life. To live it freely. Like Paul said in Galatians 2:21. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I will do what? But not yet I that live it, but Christ lives in me. Can you see? The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And when there is love, there is abundance of grace. And gave himself for me. So Paul here said, I have entered into abundance of life. I live. Death, sin does not. I went in the house. Since it's no more a limitation, it does not mean I'm perfect. But the life I live, grace that I live, is abundant. Sin does not, cannot impede me from doing righteousness. Amen. So it's not yet the life of perfection. A reigning life is to reign over sin. Amen. To reign over sin means that to have abundant life over sin. Praise God. So there is need for abundance of grace. Grace that will destroy sin. Destroy the law of sin. That will destroy the limitation of sin. That grace must abound. That's why Paul, some people now say, since we preach grace, and you're preaching abundance of grace, can we keep on sinning and be asking for much grace? Because isn't it about having much grace? As long as grace abound, it doesn't matter how we live now. Let's just go for more grace. Paul said, you don't understand. Can you see? Can you see flesh? Flesh is interpreting scriptures for you. Amen. Because if grace is abounding, then it's destroying sin. It can abound as long as sin is having its free will. So shall we sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. Come on, say, God forbid. So when you understand the realm of grace, you now know that you can't play around sin and be asked for more grace. But grace is not just knowledge. Grace is knowledge that has turned to power. What did I say? Come on, say it again. It's usable. It's usable. It's power usable. That's grace. So you see, grace brought us, made us saved. Grace will do something. You don't have grace and stay. No. I went in the house, please. When you have grace, grace runs through. Are we together in the house, please? Amen. I'm just trying to look. I want to look for somewhere to stop. That will have made it a little bit. But did you pick this message? You pick it. So what produces Christ Even the Son of God is lay of grace and truth, okay? But the way you enter into grace, there's a way they minister grace to you. They have to build you in grace. When they want to begin to build you, raise you up, they bring truth into it. They bring truth into it. So, the grace here that is talking about abounding grace already contains truth. Grace cannot abound without truth. I went in the house. What did I say? Come on, say it again. That's why the grace must, that truth must be truth that pertains to God or pertains to godliness. So, grace cannot abound without truth. So, you want to see that, you will see, grace be to you. Grace be to you. Grace be to you. And you see, grace and peace to you. I went the house this. Then you get another place. But Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied. Grace be to you. You can have more grace. Amen. Have more grace. Have more grace. You can have more grace now without learning, without teaching. That's why you see Titus, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That grace is still teaching you godliness. It's a grace that is teaching you, I mean that's preparing you for godliness. But this grace, if you are going to be godly, you must be taught. It can't be imparted to you. You must be taught. So when a man wants to come into grace that is of godliness, you will see that there will be need for teaching. You will need doctrine to be taught. Are we in the house, please? You will need truth to be taught. Then you will acquire knowledge, and knowledge until you see him acquire more grace and more grace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me now bring this. The cleansing power. There's a power of grace. There's a deny. Teaching us deny. Come on, say deny ungodliness. Say it again, please. It's not abstaining from ungodliness. It's deny. That deny is a purification. There's a purification or sanctification from ungodliness. There's an ungodliness or transgression that is in Jacob that has to be cleansed out. Then it's not abstaining. Is that he's finding strength to live without it. To live without it. It's not under prayer. He can let it go. Are we in the house, please? He can, amen. He can make in choices. He can choose spirit against flesh. It's not struggling. There are two things, two choices for him. Flesh is telling you, go this way. Say, no, I'd rather go for this because it pays me more. That choice he makes is not ordinary, his spirit. Because without power, he can choose flesh. He can seek gain of flesh and choose flesh. I went in the house, please. And when you choose flesh, it's if you sow to this flesh, you shall do by the flesh, do what? Reap corruption. So there's not sowing you do that you don't reap. If you sow to the spirit, you are of the spirit, reap life everlasting. So there's an end for sowing the spirit. So a man doesn't have grace to choose the spirit because he's weak. I went in the house, please. He has the two choices in his hand. But to him, going for the flesh is more. Not only that it's real. When you choose flesh, you are more at home with it. You know, there's a way you choose flesh and you'll be rioting. You won't be able to sleep. Amen. It means you have made your stature. You choose flesh. For those who choose flesh, it is when they get the result that they cry. To them, flesh is normal. See what, amen. See what Esau did. Esau had a chance in his life to be the firstborn. But he was a Canaanite person. So in the demand of whatever there, to him, firstborn does not amount to much. To be firstborn is not a serious thing. But to Jacob, firstborn matters to him. I went in the house, please. Because that gives him right into the promise of God to his father Abraham. And to him, it's important. But for Esau, it's not very important. I went in the house, please. So, at the demand of what to eat was enough for Esau to lay down. And when he lay down, he didn't miss anything. He ate the food. The food he ate did not run his belly. He was at home. It's when the issue of inheritance came now that he remembered. Can you see? He not cried bitterly. He didn't cry for the day he ate the he lost it. He was crying that his brother, can you see it? As if he swindled him to get inheritance. I went in the house, please. He should have cried for the day he made the choice. So his cry is not even a righteous cry. So when grace is being added to you, it's building you along truth. It gives you stature, and the stature helps you to make choices that is right. You see to the future, you can, for you, the pain of the present is not too much for you. You feel it a little bit. Somebody will say, this pain will kill me. But to you, it's brief. What makes it brief is that you have grace for hope. Okay, let me read this scripture to you. That's where I'm going, really. Okay? Let me read to you so that from there we can pick up again. Amen. I've not left 2 Corinthians 5. That's where I am. I'm just building flesh for it. Praise God. So let's go there quickly and read a few verses and go today. Hallelujah. It's good to grow. Say it's good to grow. Say growth. Say growth. Say grow in grace. Say to your friends. Come on, say go, brother. Brother. Sister. Grow in grace. You must desire to. When Peter said grow, he was putting a demand on there. Grow in grace. You must desire to grow in grace. So you will seek the path to grow in grace. Because that's the answer you need for many things in your life. Amen. 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 Thank you, my brother, for that tongue. I just want to read these three scriptures for us to go today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see. Remember, I was teaching you all this place last time. Let's read from verse 9. As unknown yet were known, as dying, behold, we live, as jesting and not killed. This is a man who was in the school of abounding in grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Grace made me what I am. Actually speaking, I had more debt in me than the other apostles. Amen? Amen. I had more debt in me. I was a perjured man. I was a murderer. I was injurious. Those things, it's not just, Jesus can forgive him of those things, but the working of that debt is inside of him. No, we don't know. There are two parts of forgiveness. There's forgiveness that forgive what you have done wrong and say, we are not going to hold it against you. But does not remove the workings. Because when you do sin, sin works death in us. So Paul was carrying more debt than the other apostles because of what he has used his soul to do. He has greatly exercised his soul in doing wickedness. Imagine stoning people to death and you're washing them. You're not washing, you're supervising it. So that you are ensured that they're stoning very well. Not only that they're stoning and he died, there's a way they should stone him. So you are. A man will take letter alone and go on a journey to go and kill. So when Jesus took him, God just said, I'm going to make him a witness. I'm going to make him not just a minister, a witness. And a witness is an entity of grace. So they have to release so much grace towards him. But the way the grace can come to him, it must come through his crucifixion. It must come through his sufferings. So they have to measure out a dying process for him also. So he had to suffer more than all the apostles in order to access more grace. He need to come into a realm of grace that the apostles, other apostles doesn't have. So the only way to make him true, to lay that nature in him that will be according to truth of God, or to be according to Christ, is that he must have to suffer. Can you see? Are we in the house, please? So you can see, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Can you see? Amen. And as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chasing and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Can you see that? So Paul was confronted with things every day that would make him sorrowful, yet rejoicing. You know, there's a way, hey man, there's a way you're in Christ and things are resting on you in a way that make you are leaping because things are happening well for you. I'm saying, praise God. You pray for anointing. Anointing rests upon you. You minister. Things are happening. I went in the house, please. The church you are raising, they are multiplying. Everything is just going on well. Huh? Who will not praise God in that kind of thing? Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. I went in the house, but Paul's system was that he was being confronted with issues every day that can make him sorrowful. But in the midst of those sorrows, by revelation, it was coming to a truth that was turning to joy. Why? He has seen hope. I went in the house, please. And one thing is that hope maketh not ashamed. No matter how much of the assault against you, when there is hope. And that's why you must move from the hope of this world to the hope of the Son of the glory of God. Am I in the house with you, please? So, I still want to read. Don't let me go to another scripture again. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor. What's the next thing? Yet making men rich. How will Paul say, as poor? Paul has no stock of finances. Yet is advanced. See how much help he brought to the church in Judea. All the churches of Gentile were contributing money for Judea. Paul was pushing the money, was pushing it here and there. Things were happening here and there. Was making many rich, yet check his account, nothing is there. Oh my. As having nothing. Amen. What's next thing? Yet possessing all things. See the next verse, verse 11. Oh ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is what? Our heart. Ye are not straightening us. You are not aligning with our pathway. You are only straightening your own bowels. You are only doing your thing. You are living for yourself. So Paul gave a demand for them in verse 13. Now for a recompense in the same. I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Open yourself for the same workings. Open yourself so that whatever God is rotting has wrought in us, he can also rot it in you. Because God does not want to have grandchildren. What he wants to have are what? What do I call it? Say it again. Say it again. What God wants to have is our children. In this sphere, we can have children, grandchildren, but for God, He wants my children to be His children. He wants my father to be His children. He wants my friends to be His children. All of us is children. So He's going to put us through the same training for adoption. So I speak unto you as my children. Be ye also enlarged. Be stretched. Let your bowels be stretched out the same way. And how was it stretched out? The same way we have dealings in this manner. Don't just enjoy grace and go away. No. Say, I enjoy grace to be also raised, to be also enlarged, to be also blessed, to be also given. I can't be an end. I must be a means to other people. I must not be an end. So everybody who doesn't want to be an end, Paul was saying, be enlarged. Can you see the next verse of the scriptures? Next verse of the psalm. We're running off now. Amen. Are we blessed today? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He's saying, don't have the same, amen. Don't have the same shape. Don't have the same ship. You can be a Christian and yet in the spirit you are having the same ship. You are not. Your beauty is not rising up. Christ is not being built up in you. Amen. So you call those kind of people carnal. Come on, say carnal. They're carnal. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't live the life of unbelievers together with them. No, let their life be to them. And take your life. Your life as a, there's a design for your life. You must attain. You must arrive at eternal life. You must arrive at eternal life. So you must. There must be a separation. You must break that link that make you look alike here. I went in the house this. The pace of your growth must make you totally separated or sanctified. Be you not, since I was young, this scripture is a common scriptures in fellowship. Well, this scripture is a dangerous one. What fellowship with at righteousness with unrighteousness? Let me just pick that. Righteousness with unrighteousness. What fellowship? So, where grace is to be start multiplying or increasing is when you align with the scope of righteousness. Remember, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Faith to faith. It's telling you that you must align with faith revelation. You must settle that in your life. You cannot connect. If you are not pursuing faith revelation, then you are aligning with unrighteousness. And the meaning is this one. The next one will be a problem. Go back there. Because you're supposed to move from righteousness to light. Light to Christ. Christ is the Lord. Then from the Lord to God. That's the journey. It's spelled out there. It should be from righteousness to light. Light to Christ. Christ to the Lord. That's the path. What path? You see that believer with an infidel. That believer there is the Lord. Amen. Then, what's the next one? What agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. So you can see the five ladders there. Amen. That's why it's clear. The five other ladders is unrighteousness. Amen. What's the next one? Darkness. What's the third one? Belial. What's the fourth one? Infidel. What's the fifth one? Idols. You get it now. So the five ladder on the path of righteousness and the five ladder on the path of unbeliever. Believer has five parts. To escape, to escape corruption, he must climb those five ladders. Righteousness, light, Christ, Lord, God. So as you are making your own ladder, the unbeliever's own ladder, it will move from unrighteousness to darkness. From there, Belial is a son, is a child of Satan in training. Amen. What's the next one? Infidel. So this one is an infidel. It's an apostle. Infidel. What's the last one?
Idol.
When it becomes an idol, that's an antichrist. Okay. So the training is this one. Let me just please. The training is this one. They are saying that you must not jump. You must not in any way jump the ladder. If you are a believer, you must, as you connect to righteousness, you must not tamper with unrighteousness. If you are a light, you have to be a light, you must not tamper with darkness. That is why, amen. I wear the house, please. So you can see exactly the commission of God. We are preaching the same message. Abi, we have preached the same thing today. God's commission to Paul in Acts 26 is clear. Is to turn them from the power of, to turn them from Satan to light. See, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. So you can see that if you fellowship with darkness, then you will use your power. Are we in the house, please? So it's saying that you must know where you are going. Are we right together, please? And concentrate and ensure that there is no fellowship, there is no communion, there is no agreement, there is no concord, there is no part. So Corinthians' problem is that they can't live holy by the force of grace. Can you see that? So if they have escaped, amen. If they have escaped the works of unrighteousness, it's clear. Paul made it clear. What are the works of unrighteousness? Fornication, adultery, uncleanness. Because there's no unrighteous man that will inherit the kingdom of God. So if you have escaped that and you have cross to righteousness. Righteousness is not just that you are not doing those things. It has its own revelation. So he's saying, it's not enough not to do them. You must also have their revelation. You must construct the body of knowledge that is behind them in your heart. Because you need to move to the next thing. So if you are not doing them, it does not make you illegible to life. So you must go through a process that can ensure that you are making progress. So you can't just behave Christianity in church, because the progress in the spirit is definite. You know, in those days when we're in church, when the old thing that we do about is that you are not sinning, you are free from sin, you are no more committing fornication, you are no more womanizing, and there, so it's clear, amen, church. I went in the house, please. So if you're not in those things, you are a holy man of God, right? He's a good child of God. He's a good believer. Even if he has other issues, it's not womanizing, it's not stealing, it's not... But what he's handling is not righteousness. It's just abstinence from those character. And that does not make him eligible for promotion in the spirit. You know something now? Because there's something they're expecting him to become, in which ordinary abstinence does not qualify him. So you can understand. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith all of that. And finally, to godliness, to brotherly kindness, charity. Are you there? See, for if these things be in you. See, are you there? Amen. Let's pray together, please. Praise God. So if these things be in you and abound. So he's telling you that if you are learning brotherly kindness, you don't try to learn it. You learn it because there's something that must happen after the learning. So you can't adopt a kind of a lifestyle just to pretend among them. Within a short time, it will expose you. Other people will overgrow you, and your form and all the concussion will expose. It will show you are not growing. And you've been adopting certain smart approaches. You know, some guys are just smart people. They know how to clean themselves up. They don't need others to cleanse them. I don't lie. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. I know that. It does not commend righteousness. Amen. Some unbelievers don't do them. And yet they don't have access to God. If these things be in you and abound, they make you. Come on, say they make you. Come on, say it again. They make me. Come on, say they make me. So these things actually, when they are bound, something come out of your person. A new person just burst out because they are bound in you. So you are not in charge of what they make out of it. But you knowing and you yourself can cooperate with them to make a new man of you. A new man that God will be well pleased and will be inviting for entrance into everlasting kingdom. I went to the house this because I like this. There are many entrances that changes us, that changes us. It's not churchianity, it's transformation. Things in our life that we give it to, we pursue in the spirit as qualities of life that Christ has that change. You just change. Imagine that day at Jordan that voice came. You know how many years Jesus has waited for that day? How many years has waited for it? That even John was going to stop him. Say, Jesus, don't do that. What? You should. I should come for your baptism. Say, you don't know anything. Well, look at this boy. You don't know anything. But your baptism. You don't know that. I'm in a school. I'm in a school of righteousness. In this my school, the way my school teacher has trained me is that you must fulfill. They don't make you number 10. The training here is that you must fulfill everything. So when you're not in the school, they will not approve 90%. What kind of school is that one? Then you must be schooling away in the house, please. With a sense of something beyond. So if these things be in you, so these things can be in me. It can be in me. These things can be in me. And they can also abound. They make me that I will never be barren, non-fruitful, where? In the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See the next thing. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. It takes away hope from you. You can't see afar off. And has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. See the next thing. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do this, what is this? If these things abound, ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. How? I can't hear you, please. I can't hear you, please. Into where? Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So every time they are asking for a measure of grace to be added, it's because they need you to have access to certain entrances. And when you have access to entrances, you are changing, you are growing, you are changing, you are growing. Your building is for presentation. Your building is for presentation. And your presentation is for access. 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 Access into spheres of things. Where your discussion, there was a time, all the discussion with you is how you will stop this lie. Is that not true? Huh? Discussion is how you will stop this character. How, that's discussion. At another moment, they are talking about the way you think. Your motives. And that point, they're talking. And that time is not come, they'll be discussing eternal discussions. Things that pertains to enthronement. Hallelujah. So you can see the reason why Paul will stay with that church in Corinth and demand that they must follow this, the path of their own life, and not allow incursions that can come to them from the old man, from their past lives. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Are you sure? So can you see why you cannot, when you are saying, Lord, train me in patience. Train me in patience. You cannot say, I'm trying patience. Can you see? Because your patience will still be working when you are finished the will of God. But they taught them patience. They taught them patience in the fruit of the Spirit. They taught them patience through hope. They taught them patience of Jesus. They keep opening to them books of patience. When they were open for Christ, they needed patience. And then they finished Christ and they were open for God, they changed their patience again. Because you must not come to the kind of patience that Jesus has. Can you see patience that has been waiting for how many years? Patience for how many years? Yet, the patience cannot be exhausted. So can you see? So it's not a thing that God gave to him. It's a thing worked in him. The dealings they put him through. Put there in patience. The Lord God Almighty, in this season, will open your eyes into realms of eternal treasures. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to make you see that what they have called us into is not mere, is something serious. The gospel of Jesus is something, is terrible. The more they open it, the more I wonder, I say, what kind of a thing is this one? So I have known grace a little bit. I don't yet know grace. I was teaching in Lauren last week. I said, it was by grace that Jesus Christ tasted death. If he didn't have that grace, he must not taste death. He will die. Akufinfin. They must, first of all, open realm of grace for him. He accepts grace to taste death. That was how Jesus could swallow death in victory. Death did not swallow him. He swallowed death because it was grace. Grace has prepared him. So can you see the template of grace that will come into in life until to become true? The Lord will raise you as true witnesses. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days we have ahead of us, not long from now, there will be many, many witnesses. Witnesses of eternal life will be rising in nations, in cities, in places. You will see children of 18, 20 already piercing to the realm of eternal life. Because we're actually in the days of grace performance. Children that God will have visited at 5, at 3, whose heart will have been regulated in life, and their desire in life will be the Father's business. So should be your passion. You are arranged for a different, in your family, a different generation. It has begun with you. It has begun from you. The history is already altered. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the history is already altered. When they begin the genealogy of eternal life, it will be with you. They will say from you, your children align with it. When they mention Louis, I mention Ulysses, I mention Timothy, they mention them in terms of scriptures. In your own days, it will be according to the measure of eternal life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From this season, as we move to the end of the year to next year, they will bring back the message to us. I say next year, as we enter next year, you will move into the realm of abundance of grace. And of the gift of righteousness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray today a dividing factor between you and the world Whatever has been your link before, your bridges, they are broken today. I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, today grace for separation is given to you. There will be nothing enviable in their world. You will see their world, you will not be enviable. Because the cross is set to partition you and the world. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, through the cross of Jesus Christ, the world, this old world, is become a dung to me. And when I look at the world, I can't see anything good in the world. There's a partition line of the cross. For you today, a separation is set already. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as they place you by leading of the Spirit with the dealings and trainings of righteousness, you will allow. You won't run away anymore. You won't run away anymore. From today, I commend you to God. I listen to grace. Building. Spiritual building. Grow in grace. Your heart will desire growth in grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we enter into the years ahead of us, the pathway of eternal life will become so open to us. This discourse will no more be difficult for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the demands of Christ we will fulfill. We will be established in faith. We'll be established in grace. In grace we will stand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be all for the glory of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not be afraid of tribulation. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we declare today over this whole house, grace, truth, grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, over this water, a new desire, a fresh hunger, a fresh panting, a fresh thirst. In the name of Jesus Christ, light will break up to us in our dark places. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Mighty Father. Today we appreciate you. We give all the glory and honor to you today forever. Lord, we thank you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Lord, we bless you today. We bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.